Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My sister Becca and I had a strained relationship since she manipulated our parents into giving her a significant chunk of my college fund so she could buy stuff. Of course, she didn't tell our parents that. She told them she was starting a business. When my mom told me about it over the phone all those years ago, I admit even I was convinced she had a good plan. I was excited for Becca. For so many years, she struggled with her mental health, and it made it difficult for her to hold down a job. It sounded like she was finally getting her life together. That was until I went over to her house and found her high out of her mind.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
She couldn't even answer the door. I had to crawl through an open window. Her home was a mess. In every room, you could find discarded tinfoils and used syringes. I confronted her, and she admitted that she used the money to buy bad things. I didn't talk to her for years after that. My mom would give me updates on her, although I never asked. My sister ended up meeting a guy who was really good for her. He was able to care for her and support her as she recovered from her addiction. A year into being clean, she became pregnant. In light of this, I reached out to mend our relationship. I didn't want to miss out on knowing my niece, and I missed my sister. Since the last time I saw her, she had gained a considerable amount of weight, but she glowed with happiness, content with her life. That was until her boyfriend was struck by a drunk driver coming home one night. He was declared dead on the scene. We all worried about Becca, but we knew her boyfriend at least had a life insurance policy that would help her get by financially for a little while. After her boyfriend's death, she stopped calling us. She fell into a deep depression. We tried to help and support her, but she pushed us out. Since her boyfriend was why she got clean in the first place, I feared his passing would cause her to slip back into old habits. I prayed she would stay strong for her daughter. A couple of years passed, with minimal contact from Becca. One day, out of the blue, she called me and asked for help. I was overjoyed to hear from her and hoped all was well. Becca didn't want to make small talk and got straight to business. She told me she planned to undergo weight loss surgery and would need someone to help take care of her and her daughter while she recovered. I was surprised she could afford a procedure like that, but I wasn't going to interrogate her about her finances. I told her I would be happy to help. Before I could offer to drive her to and from the hospital, she told me the plan. I was to stay home with her daughter while she went through the operation, and she would take an Uber home. I asked how many nights she would need to stay in the hospital, and she told me she would be able to come home the same day. I found that odd, but I didn't question it due to my lack of knowledge surrounding weight loss surgery. The day of the procedure came, and I went over to Becca's house. Becca had already left for the surgery by the time I arrived. I hadn't seen my niece for 2 years. She was a ray of sunshine the last time I saw her. Nothing could wipe a smile from her face. I remember one time she was running around in my parents' backyard, fell, and landed flat on her face. She jumped up, giggled, and continued running around like she never tripped. The door was unlocked when I walked in. My niece remembered me, and a small smile appeared on her face. Nothing like what her smile used to be. She was different now. Her face was flat. Clouds now shrouded her light. She slowly walked over to hug my legs. "Hey, sweetie," I said to her. "Where's your mom?" She told me she left already. I asked, "How long ago did she leave? How long have you been by yourself?" She shrugged in response. I was worried. I had a sick feeling in my stomach. My niece used to be so vibrant, but now she felt muted. Over the course of the day, I saw her light return in small ways. We went to the park. I took her to Target and bought her a new toy. She helped me bake cookies. It was a good day. Becca came home much later that night. She limped into the house. At the sight of her mother, my niece retreated back into the shell I found her in that morning. I felt my stomach tighten at this observation. My sister looked horrible. All the color was drained from her face, and she was incredibly thin. She was as thin as she was when she was using stuff. Even her cheeks were hollow. Alarms started going off in my head because there was no way a weight loss surgery would have that effect so fast. She snapped at me to help her to the bedroom, and I obliged. I helped her into bed and asked what I should do for follow-up care.
"I don't know," she said angrily. "Just keep my daughter busy. I'll be fine."
I took a step back. I didn't understand why Becca had such an attitude. I told her, "I'm just trying to help."
"Go help somewhere else," she scowled.
Not knowing entirely how to react to her coldness, I left to find my niece. I helped my niece get ready for bed. As I said goodnight, she gave me a big hug. As her arms wrapped around me, she whispered, "Please don't leave." I withdrew from the hug to look at her face. "You have me for the next couple days, and then maybe after I can come visit you."
"No! Don't ever leave! You can't leave!"
Tears began to gather in her little brown eyes. Through her tears, she explained that her mother had started to become fuzzy after her father died. My niece said that her mom would go into her room and shut the door for days at a time. Sometimes she would hear her mom coughing. She told me the coughing came with a funky smell. My heart dropped when she told me my sister started bringing around strange men who would only stay one night. I knew she was using bad things again, and from the sounds of it, she may have been selling her body to get money for it. It explained her hollow cheeks. She was already thin from using the powder and pills again, not from the weight loss surgery. It made me wonder what procedure she just got. Becca must have burned through the life insurance money and was desperate for more. I promised my niece I wouldn't let anything bad happen to her. I kissed my niece's forehead to wish her goodnight. In the background, I heard my sister throwing up. I went into the bathroom, and she was lurched over the toilet, vomiting blood.
"What happened?"
"It's fine! Go away!"
Becca yelled. "It is not fine. I'm calling the ambulance," I responded.
"No!"
Becca tried to get up to stop me, but grabbed her stomach like she was in pain. She lifted her shirt to check her wound. And that's when I saw the poorly sewn together incision on her lower abdomen. Blood dripped through the stitches. As we waited for the ambulance, I demanded she explain herself. I confronted her about bringing strangers to the house and scolded her for putting her daughter in danger. Becca started to cry. After her boyfriend died, she was okay for a little while. The pressure of life and providing for her daughter began to weigh on her. And she needed an escape, a momentary reprieve. So she hit up one of her old friends who used to sell her things. He was still in business and supplied her with what she needed. When she started having trouble paying for them, he showed her a place on the deep web where she could sell herself. People sold everything on this website, from substance to organs. It was more private than Reddit or OnlyFans, so my parents and I could never figure out what she was up to. She posted an ad and was surprised by how many clients she got. However, it wasn't enough to cover the debt she had racked up after she used up the life insurance policy. She looked through the website her friend had showed her for other ways to make a quick buck and saw that someone was looking for a kidney. She figured she had one to spare, and the payout was big enough to cover her debt and then some. Becca admitted that she was beginning to think of using her daughter to make money, and selling a kidney felt like a better option. I slapped her. How could she even consider doing that to her daughter? As she confessed this to me, the ambulance pulled up. They strapped her to the gurney and rushed her to the hospital. Turns out the deep web surgeon left gauze in her abdomen. They weren't able to save her in time. The wound became infected, and the infection spread rapidly. I asked the doctor how it could have gotten infected so fast. He told me that he's heard of people trying to sell organs on the black market, how my sister did, and that sometimes the person doing the operation will intentionally mess up or inject them with something so they won't live long enough to have to pay them. We never received any money for her donation. My niece now lives with my parents. I try to see her as often as I can. She's in therapy, and I can tell her light is returning, slowly.
My name is Bob. After my divorce, I packed up all of my stuff and moved to a small town, just outside El Paso. I wanted to get away from all the reminders of my old life in Detroit. Because I was retired, I could live anywhere. So I decided to move closer to my oldest son, Blake. Blake lived in the city itself, but I didn't want to deal with all the traffic. My new house was in an isolated community connected to El Paso by one road. It was quiet and safe. The only problem was, I didn't know how to make friends. My neighbors mostly kept to themselves. Blake visited me occasionally, but besides him, I didn't know anyone well enough to invite them over. During one of Blake's visits, I told him my problem. He suggested that I set up a Facebook account to try to find other people into the same kinds of interests as me. He told me about all the Facebook groups that are out there. After Blake left, I set up my profile and started to look for groups that were interested in NASCAR and old westerns, my two favorite things. I was able to find other guys about my age who seemed interesting, but it felt a little weird to be friends with people from other parts of the world. It wasn't a real friendship. So I decided to go local. I found a Facebook group made for the residents of my neighborhood. It had about 50 members, so most of my neighbors were already a part of it. I'm not really good at technology, but this seemed like an easier way to introduce myself than just walking door to door. It took the admin a day to accept me. Once he did, I went through all the group's posts. It seemed like most of the posts were angry complaints about theft in the area. Someone would post about a stolen Amazon package, and then a bunch of other people would comment with similar stories. I was surprised. This seemed like such a quiet neighborhood. I had no idea that there were thieves in the area. I wanted to write a post introducing myself, but I decided not to. The whole group sounded really negative. I didn't check Facebook until a couple of days later. When I did, I saw even more posts about stolen packages. One lady wrote about how her window was broken and someone had snuck in and taken her wallet. That one got a lot of comments. I felt sorry for everyone, but I still wanted to post something. So I wrote a short introduction explaining why I moved here and offering my sympathy for anyone who'd been robbed. I think it sounded pretty nice. I was about to post it when I realized that I should probably add a photo so people could see what I looked like. Most of the photos I had were with Blake, so I posted one from a dinner we had last week. Blake's arm was around my shoulder, and we both looked happy. I sent the post and then turned off my phone. I figured I wouldn't get any responses right away. About an hour later, Blake came over for a surprise visit. He brought a pizza with him. Plus, he had a little housewarming present. I loved my son so much. The present was a cute little wind chime that I could hang in my backyard. It had little glass race cars, which would fit my house perfectly. We sat together and ate our pizza. Blake asked me if I had made any friends, and I told him that I just sent my first post on Facebook. So hopefully, I'll meet someone that way. He seemed curious, so he asked to see it. I pulled out my phone and opened Facebook. I was shocked to see that my post had dozens of comments. At first I was excited, but then I read the first comment. "That's him! That's the guy who stole my packages!" I kept reading, and all the other comments were the same. Everyone recognized Blake as the neighborhood thief. I didn't believe it at first, but then I read one of the last comments. "Oh my God! I think he's the one who took my race car wind chime!" "Well," Blake said, "can I see?" I realized that he was still waiting to look at my phone. I pulled it away and told him to give me a second. I needed to figure out what to say. He knew that something was wrong, so he reached across the table and grabbed my phone from my hand. As soon as he looked at my screen, he knew he'd been caught. "You weren't supposed to make friends with your neighbors. Why would you do that?" He was acting like this was all my fault. "Blake," I said slowly, "what did you do?" He took a deep breath and explained that living in El Paso was more expensive than he thought. He needed extra help, so he started stealing from my neighborhood. It was the only way he'd be able to survive without losing his apartment. He didn't even have enough money to pay for his meds. "Give me the phone," I said. I was going to call the police. He kept it away from me. My son was 23, so he could overpower me pretty easily. And I didn't want to fight him, of course. But he had to pay for his actions. I told him that I was very disappointed in him. He could have just asked me for money. That was the wrong thing to say. He absolutely freaked out, screaming, "I don't need your help! I'm a grown man!" I backed away from him, scared. His expression went blank, like he was moving on autopilot, and he grabbed the wind chimes off the table. Then he lunged at me, wrapping the wire of the wind chimes around my neck. I tried to tell him to stop, but I couldn't breathe. He squeezed tighter and tighter, screaming, "I'm not a failure! I'm not a failure! I'm not a failure, you fool!" I pushed him, but he wouldn't budge. He was going through an episode, and soon...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He'd kill me. There was nothing I could do. And then my front door burst open and two policemen rushed inside. They tackled Blake to the ground and handcuffed him. I pulled the wire off my neck and gasped for breath. I was alive. I watched as they dragged Blake away, kicking and screaming. When we reached the front door, I asked one of the policemen why they came, and he said that my neighbors had called. And sure enough, when I looked out the front door, I saw dozens of people standing on my yard watching the whole thing. As the police shoved Blake into the car, I walked towards my neighbors and explained that I had no idea my son had been terrorizing them for so long. No one said anything. And then all at once, my neighbors walked toward me and wrapped me in a big, comforting group hug. That was the moment I finally felt at home.
"Thanks a lot. Have a nice night," I said, shoving the $8 tip into my pocket as I stepped off the porch, the door already closing. It was always nice to end the shift with a decent tipper, though it didn't happen often. It was just after 9 o'clock, and it had been a busy run for a Thursday night, so I was extra tired. Hoisting the empty pizza delivery bag onto my shoulder, I stepped through the gate, shutting it properly behind me, and ambled down the street. I'd had to park a fair distance away since there'd been no space outside the customer's address, so I shoved my hands into my pocket and whistled to myself as I walked. It was a clear, cool night, faint breeze blowing across the street, though it did nothing to dampen the smell of grease and garlic that constantly clung to me after a long shift. Across the road from me, a young woman was walking her dog. The large Bernese Mountain dog stopping every so often to sniff something on the side of the road, tail wagging back and forth. I was a big dog lover myself, but the apartment I rented had a strict no-pet policy. I was debating finding somewhere else so that I might finally get myself a puppy. I dragged my gaze away from the dog and kept walking, my beat-up Honda coming into sight ahead of me. There was only one lamp working on the entire street, leaving most of the road doused in shadow, so it wasn't until I was only a few meters away that I saw it. There was something stuck to my car, fluttering in the breeze beneath the windshield wiper. My stomach dropped as a thought crossed my mind. Was it a parking ticket? I thought this was a no-permit area, and I'd only been gone for no more than 5 minutes. How had I got a ticket already? But as I stepped closer, I realized it wasn't a ticket at all. It was some kind of poster with the words "missing" printed in big letters. A missing poster? Who had put it there? I lifted my gaze and glanced around the street, but I couldn't see anyone. I hadn't passed anybody at all except for the dog walker, and she didn't look like she'd been carrying any posters with her. With a sigh, I reached for the poster and snatched it out from beneath the wipes, tearing the corner. When I saw the photo in the middle, I froze, the blood draining rapidly from my face. It was a picture of me. And underneath, the text read, "Missing person. Name, Alexander Raymond. Age, 34 years old." My eyes went wide as I scanned the rest of it. That was me. That was my name. My details. What the hell was going on? A chill touched the back of my neck, spreading over my whole body as I stared at my own face on the missing poster. It was a recent picture, taken up close, but I'd never seen it before. Something else flapped in the breeze, and I moved around the side of the car. More posters were stuck to the windows, all the same. Why would someone do this? Was this someone's idea of a prank? But how could they have known this is where I would be? How had they managed to stick all these posters up in the span of 5 minutes while I'd been out delivering a pizza? Nothing made sense. Swallowing back the feeling of dread in my throat, I began tearing all the posters from the windows until there were none left. If someone was playing a joke on me, it wasn't funny. I'd have to grill my friends later and see which one of them was responsible. Right now, I just wanted to get home. Climbing into the car, I put on my seatbelt and was about to drive away when I saw it. One last missing poster. This time, it was inside the car, sitting on the passenger seat beside me. My dread turned into cold fear then. How had it gotten inside the car? I'd locked it when I'd left to deliver the pizza, and none of my windows were cracked. There was no evidence of a break-in either. It was impossible that someone could have placed the poster inside the car. Yet there was no denying what I was seeing either. I scrunched the paper up with my fist, tossing it with the rest onto the back seat. Then I hit the accelerator and drove off. When I got home, the nightmare hadn't ended. The front of my apartment door had been plastered with the same missing posters. I had to tear a few of them off just to get the door open. Who was doing this, and why? I tried to think of anyone I might have angered or annoyed to the point of wanting revenge, but nobody came to mind. I couldn't think of anyone who might do something like this at all. Even my friends didn't seem capable of going this extreme. I went into my apartment and locked the door behind me, making sure to deadbolt it too. I didn't want anyone sneaking in and putting more of those damn posters inside the apartment while I was asleep. Kicking off my shoes, I went into the kitchen to get a cold glass of water to clear my head. My head was spinning with questions and possibilities. What if this was some kind of warning? What if this was someone alerting me to the fact that they were coming to kidnap me? That at some point in the future, I would be a missing person? What if I really was going to go missing and I just didn't know it yet? I downed the water and set the glass on the side, almost hard enough to crack it, my hand shaking with fear. What if? I shook my head, silencing the thought. Maybe I was overthinking this. Maybe it really was just a prank, and not some kind of messed up prediction of the future. I took a few deep breaths to calm myself, and then went around the apartment, making sure every window was shut and bolted. Even if it was just a hoax, it didn't hurt to be careful. If the person behind the posters was planning something, then it would likely happen tonight. And I was going to make sure I was prepared. Just in case the worst scenario came true. Just in case someone really was after me. After securing all the entrances and exits of my apartment, I grabbed a knife from the kitchen and set up in my bedroom. I already knew I wasn't getting any sleep tonight. I stayed up the whole night, waiting, watching, listening out, but nothing happened. Nobody came to my apartment. When morning broke, I checked outside, and found all the posters I'd left on the door had gone. Completely disappeared, without a trace. I might have thought I'd imagined the whole thing, if not for the posters that were still in my car, scrunched up on the back seat. In the weeks and months that followed, I never found out who put those posters on my car and apartment door. Nobody came forward, and nothing else happened. I didn't go missing. I like to think that it was just someone's idea of a stupid prank, and nothing more. My name is Wilson, and I'm 29 years old. I work at Starbucks. But some time ago, I noticed a woman, a customer, who captured my attention. Her eyes were very intriguing, big and green, unbelievably expressive. Her body structure was small. She had long, dark hair and was thin and short. I wasn't even sure if I found her beautiful or not because I was having a hard time comparing her with every other woman that I'd seen. As time went by, that woman, whose age I also couldn't figure out, became a regular customer, but only on Thursdays between 3 and 5 p.m. At one occasion, when I was observing her, sitting at her table, drinking her coffee and reading a book, she suddenly looked at me directly. I immediately looked away, feeling embarrassed. The woman didn't smile, didn't express any kind of emotion. She simply returned to her book, finished her coffee, and left, as always. I was sharing an apartment with my best friend, Glenn. He's a bartender. I guess we were both born to serve food and drinks to people. I discussed that eerie woman with him when we were having a few beers and watching some horror videos on YouTube during a Friday evening. Wilson, dude, if you were a bartender like me, trust me, you wouldn't feel intimidated or fascinated or whatever by some woman who looks like whatever she looks like. The amount of bizarre people, both men and women, that I've seen in nightlife is enough for me to be vaccinated. Over there at Starbucks, you're used to normal guys and girls who probably behave and dress the same. Your brain is so bored with all the repetitiveness that you want to hang on to anything that's slightly different, odd, and interesting. Like that woman with the big eyes, Glenn said. Wow, Glenn, I guess it's true. Bartenders really are philosophers and psychotherapists on their own. You know what? I'm not even kidding. You're probably right, man, I answered. But do you feel attracted to that woman or not? If so, ask her out or something. I honestly don't know. Part of me, yes, I think. The other finds her creepy, I confessed. That's good. Creepy's cool. Cool is attractive, Glenn said. Maybe, maybe. Well, it doesn't matter. For sure, sooner or later, she'll stop showing up, I said. More to myself than to Glenn. Eventually, another Thursday came, but this time, the eerie woman wasn't there. I guess I was right, I thought to myself. Although, I was wrong. When my shift came to an end and I was walking towards my car to drive back to my apartment, I saw that woman. She was standing right next to my vehicle. Hello, can I help you? I asked. But she didn't say anything. Instead, she started to walk towards me, slowly. For some reason, I felt scared, but I didn't know why. She was fragile and wasn't holding any gun. But as she came close to me, I heard a terrible noise inside my head. It was a piercing noise, very painful, so painful that I fell to the ground and started screaming with my eyes closed, covering my ears with my hands. But it was useless because, as I mentioned, the noise came from inside me. After one very long and dreadful minute, the noise suddenly stopped. And when I opened my eyes and got back on my feet, slowly, the woman was no longer there. I looked around and nothing. Only a couple of other people were there. One asked me if I was all right, to which I said, yeah, thanks. Confused, I got into my car and drove back home. When I entered my apartment, I couldn't wait to tell Glenn what I had just experienced. Hey, Glenn! You can't believe what just happened. I finally had a close encounter with that weird woman, and it wasn't nice. And I can't explain it very well either, Glenn. Are you there?
I spoke as I entered the living room. I knew he was supposed to be there. We were going out for pizza. And I saw his personal things on top of the living room table, as usual. I searched for him in the apartment, which wasn't that big. I noticed the bathroom door was locked from the inside. Glenn, are you there? Are you okay? I shouted, beginning to worry. I could hear some noises coming from the bathroom, but no answer. Glenn was a practical guy, and he wasn't the kind of man who likes long baths, listening to music and whatnot.
Glenn! Glenn! Say something!
I insisted, hitting the bathroom door. I decided to break the lock to get in. And when I did, I couldn't believe what I saw. My friend's body, or what was left of him, lay on the floor. But his corpse, it looked like an unwrapped Egyptian mummy. Completely dry. Skin like broken paper, as if the blood had been sucked out of it. In panic, I got out of the bathroom to call 911. And when I got back to the living room, someone else was there. It was that woman. There was a red liquid coming out of her mouth, which she swallowed back. I knew in my head it had to be Glenn's blood.
Who are you? Some kind of sick cannibal? What did you do to my friend? I'm calling the cops, you creep!
I said. Then, I started to hear voices in my head.
I felt so overwhelmed that I couldn't avoid listening to them.
It was the woman. She was communicating with me through a telepathic process.
Greetings. I'm not from your planet. I am an intelligence and sentient creature from another galaxy that lies beyond M31 Andromeda. I am able to shapeshift temporarily to appear like a human being. Mostly, at least. I was able to read your mind at the place of your work, so I gathered enough information about you, including where you live and your friend. Glenn was a danger to you. You may not realize it, but exactly 8 months from now, his friend would have harmed you in order to avert the future mishappening. I had to kill him.
Are you out of your fucking mind? Glenn was more than a roommate to me. He was like a brother. You psycho woman. You don't know what you've done.
As I jumped towards her, she simply vanished under a shiny, bright white light. I still called the police, and yes, I did tell them my story. Of course, no one believed it. I was actually investigated as a suspect, but fortunately there was nothing against me, obviously. Glenn's family and our friends, though, stopped speaking to me. I think they think I had something to do with Glenn's death.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As for me, I now live in fear, thinking about that woman. I hope she doesn't return.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.